and welcome to Curiously Morbid, a podcast for the curiously morbid people out there. My name is Dean Osgood, and I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm joined today on this freaky Friday by my wonderful co-host, Danielle Waldron. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Dean.
I'm very excited for this episode today.
Oh, I'm extremely excited. I love stuff like that.
Shall we get straight down to it?
Let's just get down to it. I love it. We're back in our haunted roots, and I love it. And the last time we did something like this, it was like haunted theatres. And we're moving on to nightclubs this time.
I love a haunted something, you know. My favourite episode of this podcast is haunted theatres.
Yeah, that was really good. And like last time as well, we kept it local last time to like our local theatres. And we're doing exactly the same this time. We are keeping it to our local nightclubs. So, Dean, have you ever had any creepy experiences in a nightclub?
I've had many a creepy experience in a nightclub, but I think the word you were looking for was probably haunted.
Yeah.
I have never had a haunted experience, but I've had many a creepy experience, yes. Especially in Superstar Boudoir. Yeah, but not like haunted or like supernatural, like just like predatory old men.
Well, I thought...
And that really is the horror
Yeah,
show.
that really is the horror, the creepy story. I've thought that I had, like, a paranormal experience, like, but now, reflecting upon it, it wasn't paranormal.
Reflecting upon it, go on.
excuse the fun. So I've just told Dean this before we started recording, so I'll just tell it again just to embarrass myself. I kind of thought that I saw someone that looked just like me, and, like, they were dressed like me, the hair was like me, and I was rather drunk, to be fair. And I think I was in Pop World. Like, that's where I want to say I was, but I can't be 100% sure on that. I was just like, why is this person that looks just like me across the room staring at me? Oh, my God, this is so weird. And I genuinely thought, this is a proper freaky Twilight Zone experience that's about to happen. So I started getting, like, closer and closer to this person. Obviously just wandering off in my drunken state. And then as I got really close, I realised that it was just a mirror on the other side of the nightclub. So it was just myself. It was just me.
Oh, Danny, that's upsetting. Oh, did you not think, oh my God, as I'm getting closer to this woman, this woman's getting closer
to me? I think I kind of did just think I was having like a proper, you know, like paranormal experience. And I was kind of down for it because I was drunk.
But I imagine places like the Cavern Club would be really like, the Cavern Club's steeped in history, isn't it? That would be really haunted, I imagine. The Beatles surely are haunted, or at least Cilla Black.
God rest the Tory woman.
What a Tory. She's a Tory, but I like her. She had a lot of laughs.
A lot of laughs. Right, so I haven't actually had a proper paranormal experience in a nightclub. I've had lots of creepy experiences. You've had lots of creepy experiences. But no paranormal ones.
I spoke to someone.
Go on.
So when you were talking about paranormal activity, paranormal like or haunted experiences in nightclubs, I never when I didn't immediately go to this, but I've just been thinking about it. I've worked in nightclubs that have been absolutely creepy.
You've worked everywhere. Where did you work?
So when I was in uni, I worked in our student union, which had a bar downstairs and a nightclub upstairs, and there was no like paranormal things there, although I hated being there on my own. But you never really were on your own there because I was a supervisor. Of course I was.
Of course.
You never really was there alone, because like in a student union, it's not for profit, so they have about 5,000 staff on. But I always remember thinking I'd hate to be here on my own. But the most paranormal one that I can think of off the top of my head, when I did my teacher training, my friend managed a bar and she employed me as a supervisor. And it's a well-known bar in Hoylake. It's not there anymore. It's been destroyed. They're making flats on it. But I worked there like in its last incarnation. It was called, you might know it as like the Firehouse or Jack Rabbit. Was it called Jack Rabbit or... Something
I feel
sounds.
Like I'm not fancy enough to go out in Hoylake.
Like, this nightclub has had incarnation after incarnation. But I worked there in this last one. It was called the Sidons. It's opposite Hoylake Station. And I remember it was like, it's this big nightclub, but it's got like a little side cocktail bar that they'd done up, and it was lovely. And upstairs was like a kind of a flat where the landlord would live in when it was like a pubby bar thing. And I was a supervisor there, so sometimes I'd go and open up and close on my own because, like, on certain nights it wasn't busy enough. But I remember one December, I was in opening the cocktail bar during December hours. And I remember going to like count up the till, and like the office was in a hallway. So I was in this hallway, and I just remember hearing like a scratching.
Oh, I don't like stuff like that.
And by the hallway where you were, it was like direct stairs up to all these rooms that were dark. I remember thinking, oh, I'll have to go up there and have a look what it is, in case it, like a mouse had got in. I went upright, and I swear, 100% swear, I went up and I saw someone stood there, and then I turned and they were gone. Like, I was so scared.
Oh, I don't
I had to
like
get my
that.
mum
I don't like
to
that.
come and sit in the bar.
Oh.
My mum had to come and sit in the bar for the rest of the night because I was so scared to catch up on my own.
Oh no, I don't like
My
that.
mum had a ball sitting and drinking gin while I did my shift.
I can imagine. I would have liked that. I would have been down.
Yeah, because it was a very new that they opened this cocktail bar during December, so sometimes you only get one customer.
Oh
So
my
it was just you on
God.
your own.
Oh yeah, see,
It was a lovely
that
job.
is quite eerie. It was a lovely job. Just drinking gin.
Well, I wouldn't drink gin on shift. My mum drank gin when she came and to
Yes,
rescued me
of
from the
course
spirits.
not. Oh, your mum rescued you from the spritz. Do you get
By drinking
it? Funny. Right, so today then we are going to be looking at some nightclubs, particularly in Birkenhead, okay? So Birkenhead's like the cheap version of Liverpool, if you are not familiar.
Excuse me. I do feel like you should smite Birkenhead like
Smite
that.
it. It's just smaller, isn't it? It's just like the littler version.
It's a
It is
historical town. Paul
historical.
O'Grady's from
Paul
there. There
O'Grady.
was monks, there was monasteries.
Yeah, do you know what? I
Taron
love,
Egerton was
I
from
do love to
there.
be fair, going round, like the old monasteries and stuff like that, and the really old churches that we've got. And it's a shame because I feel like just nothing gets done with the history, really.
Yeah, because it's Birkenhead.
Yeah.
It does have a little bit of a stigma, doesn't it? The
Yes.
area.
Yeah, which is, it's not
Which
fair.
I don't think it's fair. I work in Birkenhead and I think it's a lovely place.
Yeah, I know. It just needs a bit of a rejuvenation, like loads of places though. That,
Yeah, it needs a bit of
yeah,
money. A bit of money
exactly,
from the central government that aren't giving the money.
exactly, Jane.
And I think that's what's wrong with the current political climate, that they spend money on big cities and big places, but really the smaller towns don't get that investment.
No, they don't, and it's unfair. And then.
Maybe Keir Starmer should really drive that in the
Yeah,
next
well, that's the
election. That'd
thing
probably
because
work.
the stories we're going to be talking about today are based on some nightclubs that aren't, like, none of them are really around anymore, which is quite sad because obviously a lot of these places have closed down and the nightlife just isn't the same as what it was. Like, I was speaking to someone the other day and she's in her 40s and, like, she was telling me, like, how good Birkenhead used to be, like, on a night out and stuff like that, like, when she was my age.
Have you ever been to Birkenhead on a night out?
I have. Yeah.
I have never,
Oh,
not
I think
once.
I've literally been maybe twice, and it's always been like when we've left Liverpool early or something like that.
To like the beach.
You've had a quick stop off on the
Is
way home.
Paradise one?
Oh, I don't know. I genuinely couldn't tell you.
Well, do you remember when New Brighton used to be like that and they would have like eye candy?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to
Yeah,
there?
yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, and then it just sort of died down, didn't it? But yeah, but
Yeah, the
Birkenhead,
Wirral nightlife
yeah.
scene completely
Oh
went.
yeah, exactly. It really did. But to be fair, Birkenhead sounds like it used to be, like the place to be. And so it's quite sad that it's not like that anymore. So we're gonna be looking into some stories that were actually printed in the Wirral Globe back in January, so it's not even that long ago.
We love the Wirral Globe. I've been in it many a time.
We love the Wirral Globe. Wirral Globe. Support our local area. So, yeah.
I used to deliver for the Wirral Globe, and I never delivered the papers. Sorry,
you're so naughty.
Only a couple of times. I did deliver them as much as I could, but it was a lot of hard work. 400 papers to deliver for £10 is slave labour.
God. Right, so.
And in the summer, they used to make you do IKEA catalogues.
Did they? I did not know that.
Yeah, for an extra £3.
Right, so the first file or case that we're going to be looking at for in a nightclub is the case of an eerie doppelganger of a man named Andre. And he was sort of known as a bit of like a womanizer, a bit of a ladies' man, at the California Club on Birkenhead's Conway Street back in the late 1960s. So, like I said, obviously we are taking it back a little bit because
I know Conway Street though.
Oh yeah, we know Conway Street, the train station. That's what I know anyway. So this, go on.
Oh, I had Conway Street in a different place, but now you've made it all make sense.
There you go.
Sorry, go on. I know exactly where this is now. Is this will have been knocked down to make the cinema?
Oh, potentially, yeah. Yeah. So, The View.
The View.
Yeah. So, the flamboyant playboy Andre, with his flashy suits, perfectly styled hair, mustache. I can imagine this kind of, like, almost like, what's it called? You know, like Saturday Night Fever, you know, like him kind of looking like that in the late 60s. he actually, yeah, he was looking fresh. And like you said, he was a bit of a ladies man. He was always frequenting these clubs and in particular, the California Club. One of the things about Andre there was that he had a thing for not like single women. A lot of the time it was married women. Obviously the husbands weren't too happy about this. And so he used to get confronted by a lot of like really angry husbands, almost on like a weekly basis, and he claimed, yeah, I imagine being that much of a ladies' man. It's like on a weekly basis, you know, you're gonna have someone's husband like running up to you and being like, "Oi!"
No, it just reminds me of like that very of the time, like Flintstones, the honeymoon is like Andy Cap, like husband being like,
oh,
"Why
yeah.
I order."
Oh, totally, like, totally.
Do you know, like, and then, like, him really cartoony seeing, like, oh, there's a husband, like, dashing off in a cloud of smoke or
yeah,
something.
Definitely. Well, the thing about Andre, this kind of interesting, when he'd get confronted by these enraged husbands, which, like we said, was almost like a weekly occurrence, he claimed that he'd never actually been inside of the California Club in his life and that it must have been some sort of imposter trying to get him into trouble. However, people didn't believe him and they just thought he was making it up. And on one occasion, he was actually put into hospital by a jealous husband who broke his nose and fractured his rib. But the other Andre continued his dining with the man's wife at the Kingsland restaurant, which is, I think it's now like a gym on Borough Road, on this occasion. So obviously, he couldn't have done it because he was in hospital with these injuries, so he couldn't have been, like, taking this wife out, you know, like, whining and dining her. And there were plenty of witnesses at this restaurant, including a policeman, the husband in case. And he said, yeah, it was Andre that your wife was with. It soon became clear that Andre either had a twin brother that he didn't know about, or the imposter was someone who just really, really looked like him. In the end, the two wronged husbands teamed up and confronted this lookalike in a cul-de-sac. And apparently he ran like away behind an alley and then just completely vanished into thin air, never to be seen again.
Maybe he left, maybe went to Liverpool, doing his dirty tricks in Liverpool.
And did his dirty tricks there. I know it's strange that, isn't it? Like,
maybe it was him.
A bit odd.
Maybe he was just a liar.
I know, but then how do you explain the hospital stuff? And, like, how did he just disappear? Like, the account is of these two men, and then he just disappeared. It was in a cul-de-sac. So, like, how did he... I just don't understand, like, how did he get away?
Well, it said he ran down an alley.
Yeah, I don't know.
literally said, it didn't say, like, it didn't say he disappeared in smoke or in thin air.
Well, they said he vanished into thin air. So he ran down an alley and they ran after him and he literally just vanished. Like, he just wasn't there when they went after him down the alley.
Oh, I don't believe this one. I just think this is Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli. I don't know. I think maybe there was just someone who looked like him and was getting him into trouble. But it's kind of curious that they were both, you know, like, going around the clubs and that they both were sort of known as ladies' men as well. So it is a bit strange.
Or maybe one of them was known as a ladies' man and the other was not.
Well, and they, yeah.
And they, that is where the confusion lies. Oh, it's like one man, two governors. Oh. It's very media dell'arte.
It's like sort of, yeah, it is.
So our next spooky story is about a 20-year-old girl named Gina, and she went to a synth pop band called Scribble. Oh, synth pop band called Scribble. How out there?
How
at the Stairways Club, but that. But the night was marred by three men in their 20s who kept trying it on with her.
Say,
oh my god!
This
imagine.
Is the creepy behaviour.
This is the absolute... When we say haunted, we mean creepy and we mean predatory behaviour.
That is not okay.
This is not acceptable. Gina should be able to go for a nice night out at the nightclub without being harassed by three men.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Men, get your act together. So they deliberately stood in front of Gina and pushed themselves up against her. Oh, this is not acceptable. And one of them, a stocky man with curly hair and an unshaven face, kept asking Gina if she'd like to go home with him. Oh, get the message. Do you know what? This is not positive. Like, no. Stay away. Keep your distance. Maybe if you want to initiate a conversation with someone in a nightclub that you'd like, you might be like, hello, how are you? You're having a good night.
How are you?
That way. And then... if the person is interested and they respond, then go from there. But if it's clear they're not interested, I feel like Gina was clearly not interested here. That is not appropriate. And that's been my TED talk on consent. After an hour of being persecuted by the annoying trio, Gina and her friend Deborah sneaked out of the club and went to Rocky's nightclub on Argyle Street. Everyone knows Rocky's. Come on, we know Rocky's. The girls had only been at the club for 10 minutes when a man who looked old enough to be Gina's father approached her as she left the toilet. Excuse me, said the man, who wore ridiculously wide trousers with turn-ups and a double-breasted black jacket. But if I may be so bold, would you like to accompany me to the Park Ballroom Club? Or are you with someone? You're a bit old for me, aren't you? Asked a bemused Gina. She noted that his short black hair was heavily oiled and parted in the centre. His skin was quite pale and his dark brown eyes were very penetrating, yet attractive. But she dismissed him as a potential boyfriend because he looked a bit too old, perhaps in his 40s. She smiled politely at the stranger and walked on, but he shouted after her. Gina, I could take you to the contact club. My car's outside. Gina slowly turned, and as the synth intro of Human Leagues, Don't You Want Me Baby pounded across the dance floor, the girl asked the unfashionable gentleman, how did you know my name? He just smiled and made no reply, then turned and walked away. Who's he? Deborah asked her friend, and Gina shrugged and said, we leave a bunch of bests in one club and meet another one in this. 15 minutes later, in walked the three men who had pestered Gina at Stairways Club. The bearded member of the Unholy Trinity, a man named Brian, came straight over to Gina and he seized her. Gripping her forearms with his hands, he said, that song's about us. This Boris guy... Oh, let me do an accent here, sorry. That song's about us. The Boris Gorney one. I want to wake up with you.
I like
You'll
Deborah.
Wake up in hospital if you don't get lost, Deborah shouted. Oh, I like Deborah.
Yes.
Deborah's exactly the friend we need on a night out. You'll wake up in an hospital if you don't get lost, Deborah shouted at Brian. But he gave her Deborah shouted at Brian, but he gave her the two-fingered salute. Or in America, it'd be one finger, wouldn't it? And turned to face Gina again, who looked frightened. How about it then? You're hurting my arm, she said, and tried to free herself from Brian. but he leaned forward and kissed her, and Gina turned her face away. "Excuse me," came a well-spoken voice from nowhere. Brian turned around, and then he saw a man in a dark old-fashioned suit standing there. Gina saw it was the man who'd asked her to accompany him earlier. Brian stood there, put his hands in his pockets, then looked the man up and down and said, "What do you want, Dad?" Brian's two associates laughed at the question, but the man threw a punch at Brian that knocked one of his front teeth out. And as Brian fell unconscious to his knees with his hands still in his pockets, the middle-aged man laid into the remaining two members of the trio, knocking both of them out. The stranger smiled at Gina, and then he vanished before her eyes. Gina and Deborah ran out of the club. They later learned the ghost who had floored the free pass was known as Knocker, a boxer who died on the premises of the club long before it was Rocky's. Oh my God.
They got what they deserved. And this is a nice ghost. These are the kind of entities I like. Because he respectfully asked her, "Would you accompany me somewhere if you've not got anyone else?" And then when she was like, no, he didn't bother her again.
A nice ghost. Now, how would you make a ghost car? Now, would you have had to die on the car for the car to become a ghost? Or can a ghost just drive a car? These are questions that need to be answered. Do cars have souls? Can they die and then become ghosts? Is there such thing as a ghost car? Find out next time on Curiously Morbid. I love them stories. I really like spooky nightclubs. Is that it? Well, anything haunted, like haunted theatres.
Yeah, definitely. I just like that we found a nice ghost. You know, like just a ghost that's just doing good things.
Oh, I like a nice ghost and a ghost car. We will find answers to those questions because, and I'm telling you this now, and we'll make it a Patreon exclusive when our lockdown ends and we can do things again. We will go and investigate these these clubs.
Yeah,
we'll go and see where Rocky's
was.
Yeah,
definitely. Oh, I'd love to do that. Especially because he's also a bit of a poltergeist because obviously he had like contact, didn't he? With like when he hit them. So he must be quite a powerful ghost.
Yeah. Danny, can we go and do a Ouija board by where Rocky's was and see if we can contact him? Because we know his name and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
We could get the AMF and we could film it. That's going to be a Patreon exclusive, so make sure you're signed up to the Patreon. We're on Patreon at Curiously Morbid. You can join from as little as a pound or whatever your valued currency is. The good stuff starts from the £5 tier. We'd really appreciate your support. We're hoping to make more of these episodes and make as much good content as we can for you. So please, we'd appreciate it if you could check us out. If you haven't already, like us on our social medias. We're at Curiously Morbid Pod on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. In the meantime,
stay curious.
Stay morbid.
This has been an Audio Bear production. Our show tune is Half Mystery by Kevin MacLeod.
Yes, MacLeod.